With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, all you private parties, how you doing? It's your good old friend. Your good old friend, your best friend in the world. I'm your best friend. I'm your only friend. I'm not your only friend, because that would be very depressing, because you may have not met me. But it's Jamie here from Private Parts. Hey, listen, before we kick this episode off, I just want to say Francis Boole is in Dallas, Texas at the moment, so he can't be on the podcast because it's 5 hours behind and we're recording this in the morning, because if you've grabbed your copy of OK magazine this week, I'm on the front cover, and you would know that I'm doing Strictly Come Dancing. But I just wanted you all to know that we have the most amazing episode today. Francis is not going to be on the podcast because it's going to be me, and the hilarious, the wonderful Grace Campbell is on the podcast. She's our guest today. Grace has a book out today, actually, which we're recording this on Thursday, but you'll be listening to this on a Friday, so it's out. And it's called Amazing Disgrace. It's about a book on shame, her life growing up. She is hilariously funny, very open, very honest, just wonderful in every single way. She was a perfect guest. I can't describe how epic this podcast is. Just talking about private parts in general there. I just can't describe how great this episode is. So go and have a listen to it. If you want to get in touch, please remember to DM us at Private Podcast. Send us an email, contact@privatepartspodcast.com. But yeah, for now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all you people out there, get ready for this. It's Grace Campbell on Private Parts. So, Grace, before we kick things off, I just want to say to you, I'm really disappointed that you had to cancel our podcast last night that we were meant to do.
Don't piss me off, Jamie. Don't piss me off, Grace.
I'm going to say you're a dick for cancelling our podcast last night.
I was sitting at my dining table with a picante de la casa that I had made by myself because I miss Soho House desperately. And then I get a call at 10 to 6. Oh, Jamie's still at Strictly. Why is that my problem?
Yes. That is... Listen. Yes. Yes. Yes,
yes,
I am.
You are. Yes, and that is a huge achievement. But what I'm saying now is it's 9 in the morning. I'm grumpy. You're probably grumpy. So we'll probably end up having a fight. Francis isn't here because he's in Dallas. So, I really hope you win Strictly. That's all I'm saying. I really hope it was worth it.
Also, can we... I love the fact you were being so kind and you were saying that getting Strictly is a massive achievement. No, climbing Everest is a big achievement. You know, giving birth, that's an achievement. Being asked to go on Strictly is not an achievement whatsoever.
Well, I will say you've been asked to do it twice. That is a big achievement.
Yeah, but that's because I think they felt sorry for me the first year. So, they felt sorry for me. So, they thought, God, the poor guy... I hurt my foot. I then cried because I was like, oh, this is the moment that my career, I'm going to take off. I'm going to be open up my own dance studio. Here I go to stardom. And then my foot breaks. So I just cried for pure selfish reasons, for nothing else, just purely because I was upset for myself.
Of course. But you're back now.
Yeah. So to all you lovely listeners, we have the beautiful, the wonderful, the amazing Grace Campbell on the podcast, as you can hear. We did organise for Grace to come on the podcast yesterday in the evening, 7 o'clock. Was it 7 o'clock record or 6 o'clock record? 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, Jamie.
Yes, it was. Do you know what's even funnier? I thought
prime hour.
I thought it was a 7 o'clock record.
Well, that's exactly where this went wrong.
No, it's not even
I had dinner plans at 7.
It's not even where it went wrong. It was just because I was too awkward. Do you ever do that thing where, you probably don't, Grace, but I do. If I have to deliver some bad news or some awkward news, I hold back on it. I deliver it at the prime moment of just before, because that is the moment that I have to deliver it. Before that, I just don't say it. Do you ever do that?
I do exactly that. Mm. I mean, I get so afraid. So, for example, I'm someone who will stay at, like, a party that I'm not enjoying because I just feel it's so rude to say I want to go. So I'll stay until 3 in the morning, get excessively drunk, and I'm not having fun, and then I hate myself the next day. But just because I'm terrified of their face when I say I want to leave, it's partly arrogance because I'm like, well, it would be so shit if I left. So I stay for charity, basically.
Wait, hang on a second. So I'm going to use that excuse as well. Hey, look, the reason why I got so drunk last night is because I felt embarrassed about leaving the party. I couldn't leave it because it was going to be really bad. So do you know what I did? I just got really drunk for everyone else. That's the kind of excuse.
Exactly. I stayed because if I left, it would have just been a sad, sad event. Without me.
How would you know? You wouldn't even be there, so you wouldn't know.
Because I have an imagination, Jamie. I know what people say when I leave. They say, oh, so shit now. Like, she's gone. What do we talk about now? So I know.
They all say they do that with me. Normally, they say, oh, it's so shit for you. Normally, people, when I leave, they just huff. They go, oh, God. They make all these noises. They go, God, it's just...
But do you ever do this thing, Ryan? I think it's part insecurity, part arrogance. But I do this thing where, like, if I don't go to an event, obviously pre-COVID, because there's nothing going on now. But if I don't go to something and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stay at home and, like, be righteous... I'll lie in bed thinking, God, they're just probably talking about me the whole time.
Yeah. Obviously.
Do you do that?
Yes, great.
Yeah.
It's called savage anxiety. and I'm filled to the brim with it.
Literally, like, I've got one friend who just really, like, he will shame you if you don't go out and if you don't drink enough. And when you leave, I know what he says. He's like, fucking Grace, she thinks she's so much better than us because she isn't getting fucked tonight.
I'm so with you. Why do we have this insecurity and this desire to please? And it's not everyone, right? It's not everyone at all, but it's I can definitely speak for myself. And possibly what you're saying is the same to you, that we have this desire and this wish to please everyone else, even if it's to our own expense, even if it damages ourselves, even if we don't want to do it, we still want to please other people and make other people feel comfortable rather than making ourselves feel comfortable. Why do we do that?
Well, I think, again, it comes from insecurity. Like, I think that when you think, oh my God, if I don't go to this thing, no one will ever invite me to a thing ever again. So there's that voice that plays in some people's minds. I mean, for me, it's like, I just want people to think I'm the best and the funnest and always up for a laugh. And then I got into my like mid-20s, which is where I'm at now. And I'm like, oh, I cannot handle it anymore. Like, I can't handle staying out till like, I won't even say the time of day that we used to stay out until.
Go on, because set. We... What is the time of day?
No.
It was next day at 4 p.m. Was that?
No. Oh, yeah, sorry, I thought you were going to say 4 a.m. I was like, no, that's a good time. No, yeah, like staying out till 10 in the morning, it's the next day, you're at a bus stop and people are going to work and it's so depressing. And I just like, I have to leave that phase in my life behind. Like, I'm not there yet. I'm too glamorous and rich now.
It's true. When you get loaded like us, then you just don't have to do those things. You just
I just want to age gracefully and with money.
Honestly, I think that also my university days and actually past that, I drank far too much in my 20s.
Where did you go to university?
I went to Leeds University.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean classic? It's a very hard classic. What do you mean classic?
Of course it is. I'm saying there are four universities that people I know went to. Sussex, Leeds, Manchester, and what's the other one?
Sussex?
What? Oh, stop it. You know people that went to Sussex.
I've never met anyone... Anyone? I didn't even know Sussex had a university. That's like saying the University of the Cotswolds.
It's called North London-on-Sea. That's what people call it. Everyone from North London goes to Sussex, Leeds or Manchester.
What?
And they just took loads of MDMA and didn't use condoms. And just spread STDs around the north of England.
Why didn't they use condoms? Because they're for sailors. They're for sailors.
Just think, famously, in that time when I was at university, no one was using condoms.
Were they taking MDMA and then they forgot to use condoms? Or was it a two-parter? Is that a two-part series?
I think it was a two-parter because in my experience, when people take MDMA, the sex doesn't go that well. So I'm not sure there was much ejaculation then. When you had people on MDMA. So I think it would be more the next day. I once invoiced a boy because I'd gone up to Leeds.
Sorry, hang on. I can't let that comment slide. I once invoiced a boy. Continue.
I went to Leeds. My best friend Anna, who, by the way, loves the shit out of you and you are a huge crush.
Big shout out to Anna.
Yeah, she's unfortunately got COVID at the moment.
Hey, Anna, get in line. Yeah, get in line, Anna, because, wow, it's going round the block.
I know, honestly, she's so original. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah,
Patient zero.
How contemporary of you to really like me.
How the spring of 2020 of you. Oh, well, at least it's not gonorrhea.
Okay, hang on, so you invoiced a boy.
We'll come on to gonorrhea. Okay,
you invoiced a boy.
So I'd gone up to Leeds University and I was having sex with a guy and I said, I'm not on the pill. So you know what I mean, I'm not on the pill, I don't want to have your fucking baby. And he still did it anyway. And it was the next day was a Sunday.
Yeah.
So I had to go to a chemist and buy the morning after pill for £35, Jamie, on my student loan. £35. So I invoiced him, I went to his halls of residence, and I snuck an invoice under his door. Did he pay it? Obviously not!
Did you write on it, you've got served, as well? Like, what are you doing?
I wrote my bank details. I wrote, for the payment of morning after pill, £35. That was not my problem to undo, it was his.
What was the threat there? There was no threat. Well,
there was no threat apart from I'll have your baby and deliver it in 9 months. Congratulations.
I'll deliver it. Still, I'll also put it under your door. Literally, that's
with an invoice. For the one pack of nappies I bought.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I feel very sorry for women because... You know, there are a lot of things, right? There's a lot of guys, especially if we talk about sex, right? So for guys, sex is firstly, I believe, and I'm speaking for myself here. I think it's less personal for guys because you're not, you know, women, when you have sex, something goes inside of you. It's a very kind of like, you know, it's a very sort of intrusive performance, because it's a performance. It is, and secondly to that, you know, you have to worry about pregnancies. You have to worry about lots of different things, and there's no like warning on the tin. There's no like, you know, even when it comes down to pregnancy. And I was talking to my friend about this the other day. With pregnancy, as a man and as a woman, you're kind of told to always use protection, and then suddenly you're told to get pregnant. There's like no in between where it leads up to it. And, you know, I have friends at the moment who are trying to have babies, and, you know, they're struggling to have kids because it's not the blueprint that we all think. We don't think that we're all going to suddenly have kids. We all think we're suddenly going to have kids, but in fact, it's not the case like that. So there needs to be
more
warning.
Well, that's because, especially when you're younger, you're taught that, like, you're all incredibly fertile, so you must be on contraception the second you start having sex. And I've just written this book, and I've got a whole chapter about this sexual health clinic that I started going to when I was 15 years old, because I was still a virgin, but I was desperate to be part of the culture of sex because I was like obsessed with sex, but I hadn't done it. So I used to go to this sexual health clinic like every week and talk to the doctor, Helen, and just ask for free condoms in the hope that one day I would need to use them. But there was this whole... And then I suddenly had this realisation at this...
What did Helen think you were? What was Helen thinking you were? She's going...
Helen used to laugh at me. Like, the first time I went there, I was like, right, I need to get a pregnancy test. And she was like, okay, have you had sex? And I was like, no, but I got fingered last night. I was like, I'm definitely probably pregnant. And she was like, but did you have sex? And I was like, no, but he put his hands down his trousers before... So there were probably sperms on his fingers, and then he put them inside me.
Sperms.
And she was like, well, firstly, this happened last night, so you won't be able to be pregnant now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sperms. He had sperms on his hand.
Sperms. Multiple sperms, Jamie. You never get a single sperm.
You do. It's not sheep.
When it's inside.
It's not sheep. You don't go, oh, there's loads of sheep over there. It's a sheep.
You don't say, oh, look, there's one little sperm on my finger. Yeah, yeah. You say there's sperm.
Oh, look what's on my hand. Sperm.
Is sperms.
No, it's not sperms. Look what's on my hand.
It is.
Oh, Jamie, why don't you clean up? There's all sperm on you. It's not sperm.
No, because it is sperm. It's multiple sperm. Cum is multiple sperm. It's not just one sperm swimming along. It's bare sperm.
That's a pile of shit. It's not sperms. It's not sperms.
It is.
Okay, anyway,
well,
so Helen... So
you went to private school, I went to state school. Let's just Google
what does
it
that,
and
what
see
does
who
that
wins.
Even... What is that argument?
Because this feels personal to my grammar.
What is that argument? You can't just have an argument with me because... And
Dua
end
Lipa
it.
Went to my school, I win.
It's basically back to my Leeds days when I was doing these and everyone just called me posh. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. I bet you got that so much.
So much.
And I love it.
So much.
I love it.
You love my downfall, the fact that I was hideously downcast and hated at my drama in my drama.
Oh, grow up. You were not hated. People
loved.
Just thought, oh, here's a posh boy.
I was walking in throwing money at people, so.
My joke when I meet someone really posh is I'm just like, I'm really sorry, I need to get a translator. I can't understand what you're saying.
Okay, so hang on, so
but
the
you,
sperms.
I can understand you.
Okay, so the sperms.
Yeah, so anyway, so I started going to the Brandon Centre And then over time, I realised, oh my God, it's just girls here. Like, only girls are coming to the Brandon Centre. Only girls are coming to get tested for STDs. Only girls are coming to find out about contraception, because girls have to take that responsibility from such a young age, which is why that twat in Leeds thought it was acceptable to do that to me, because he doesn't have any responsibility over his own sperms.
I don't understand the last bit of it, because you said sperms. I don't get the end of the story. So, but I have a feeling you were talking about the fact that he had no responsibility. But so this is okay. So, do you think that if a guy, as a woman, right? This is a very tricky subject to cross. But if you are a male and you have sex with a female, and female says, "We're not using contraception because we don't have any," you make that decision between yourselves. But the woman asks the man, say, "Look, don't orgasm in me because of this." Do you think there should be repercussions if the guy disobeys that?
Well, I kind of do. I kind of do because it's a very tricky subject, because this actually comes down to consent, which is like so complicated.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you watched I May Destroy You, Michaela Cole's show, but
this specifically is one of
the storylines. Mm. So there's a storyline where she is having sex with a guy, and during sex, he takes the condom off so he can come in her. Mm. And that is classified as rape.
But what
I learned from the show.
Why is that classified as rape? Because rape is non-consensual sex, right?
But that is non-consensual. That is ejaculating in someone without consent. They have clearly said, "You cannot do this," and they still do it anyway. Maybe I'm taking that too far. I actually don't like Bible me on that.
I'm Bibling you.
In the show.
Let me just write that down. And okay, so Grace has said that.
Put it in the Bible.
Put it in the Bible.
No. But in the show, the repercussions of that it's treated as such. So that I found that very interesting to me, because when I was watching that, I was like, fuck, like that used to happen all the time to me and my friends, where guys would just take the piss and you'd be really clear about where you are and the fact that you're not on contraception or this is the deal or whatever. And to be fair, you know, there are two of you in this situation, and I was also quite reckless, like, because you're using protection not just because of pregnancy, but also because of STDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're using condoms with new lovers, as I call them, because you don't want to get gonorrhea, as I once famously did.
No, come on. You didn't. You didn't get... That's like catching Pikachu, honestly.
Famously, Jamie, I got gonorrhea.
You got Charizard.
Helen was so disappointed in me.
Helen was furious.
Helen was like, "Grace, we've had so many conversations about this. You don't listen."
Wait. You contracted gonorrhea. What happens when you get gonorrhea?
Oh, it got treated very quickly and then it went away. But it was so bad because this is in the time of my gap year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was traveling all around the Caribbean. I was on my own, and that year I was just live, laugh, love, free.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't very using protection, but I would just say, "Oh, by the way, do you have any STDs?" That's what
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, they always tell the truth on that one.
they always know.
Listen. Look, before we have sex, do you promise you don't have any STDs? Yeah,
I
promise.
And I wouldn't say, "Show me the papers." I'd just say, "Do you have any STDs?" Or if I was speaking to a French person, "Vous avez des disease?" is what I would say.
Do you have a disease? Oh my God.
Just say, "Yes, my disease is I'm in love with you." And then I would leave.
Did they say, as soon as you said, "Do you have a disease?" Did they go, "Wait, hold on a second, I think I've just come"? Because that has turned me on. Because boy oh boy, if you did that, my sperms would be going everywhere.
Yeah, it's a really trusty method. No, I'm joking. Anyone listening to this, people get so angry at me when I speak about this publicly, say, like, "You are promoting unsafe sex." And I'm like, no, I'm saying that is not contraception. Use condoms, use contraception. Don't just ask someone. It's like saying to a random person outside your front door, "Have you ever burgled before?" And then they go and burgle your house.
But it's the problem is, and we do, and we're going to talk about your amazing new book, Amazing Disgrace, which is it out now?
It's out today, Jamie.
It's out today. That's why. See, that's why we did the podcast. That's why we did the podcast today, because it's out today, everyone. Can we get it on Amazon? Where do we go and get it?
Amazon, Waterstones, everywhere, Audible. It's you can get it in any form you want.
Amazing Disgrace. It's a book about shame and things like that, and we're going to get onto it for sure. But it's interesting because what is until you're the age of, again, this is my own opinion, until you're the age of about 27, sober sex is a myth. I mean, you just don't have sober sex. And so when you're intoxicated or whatever, and firstly your cognitive thinking goes out the window, so you're not even thinking about what's right, what's wrong, what's all those different things. So people, you kind of bypass that kind of thinking, well, you know, what about this and those worries and those concerns. You're kind of just drunk and you just go for it. So this is the reason why lots of STDs are spread and people get pregnant and stuff like that. So how do you control that side of the thing?
Well, I mean, I think it is difficult because, like, that point of, oh, it's not as good when I'm wearing a condom, you know, which,
why you've got, like, that voice we've on? All, it's not
because
as good.
That's what they're like, oh, please.
Who's begging? Who is begging? No one.
Jamie, they beg.
Beg. Grace.
They're like, they oh, please, it's not the same. That is what they sound like when they are desperate to go bareback. So that's one thing. Anyone listening, don't fall for that stupid fucking voice. You all know what I'm talking about. You, Jamie, you know. Don't fall for that shit.
I always fall for it. Oh, okay. All right.
You roll over on your back.
God, you've done the voice. You've done the voice. All right, fair. Okay, just this once. Oh, sperms are everywhere. They're everywhere.
So don't fall for that shit. And I'm speaking particularly to people under the age of 25. So your thing about 27, I think sex before the age of 25 is basically redundant. Like, it's not, you get into the good sex after a few years of properly doing it, right? Yes. I lost my virginity when I was 18 years old. You're probably younger, but
I was.
Then on, yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, I definitely was. Yeah, yeah. 100% I was.
You were in your third year at Leeds.
Me and Ronan Keating. Ronan Keating lost his virginity at 23. And Jimmy Carr.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't lose my virginity at 23. Wow. I did not lose my... I lost my virginity very, very early on because I was, again, one of those people who just wanted to get rid of it. It was like the shadow, this net, this thing. Oh, God. And it's a bizarre... And again, for females, there's this pressure, as you said, to lose your virginity. Why? Why? You know, it's not to, like, lose your hair.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And I get so many DMs from young girls, because I do lots of stuff on my Instagram about, like, sex and relationships, and I get so many DMs from girls being like, I'm still a virgin and I'm so ashamed. And I always say the same thing to them. I'm like, sex before you're 25, as a woman, is fucking redundant, because men don't know shit. Teenage boys think the clit is literally a button that you just press and then bingo, it's done. You won't come for a while unless you know how to do it and then you show them, but you won't feel confident enough to do that for a while. The first 3 years of sex for me was so boring. Like, I was so underwhelmed. I would just be like disassociating. When will this be over? I want to leave, but I kept doing it because I was like, eventually it will get good. Mm-hmm. And it did. It's just a process. I don't know what your question was, but what I was
saying... No, but it's true, but it's about this virginity that you want to get rid of for some reason. Like, it's a disease and everyone feels like they want to get rid of it. And it's so true what you said about... Like, honestly, I thought I was like Casanova in the bedroom. I was not. I was honest.
No!
I was so bad to the point where when I first ever had sex, I put a condom on and I just dry humped this girl, and I thought that was sex. That definitely wasn't. And she said to me, have you done this before? And I went, yeah, loads. Yeah, that's what happened. And then the worst, one of the worst days of my life to this day was, I was probably about 17. I was 17 years old, I reckon. And I had just hooked up with this really, really good-looking girl, this sort of the girl that everyone thought was really hot. And I was, like, so excited. And it was like, and I went to an all-boys private school, you probably haven't guessed. And I honestly walked back into school like it was a Western. And I kicked open there and I was like, pew, 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 pew. Boys, the sheriff is back in town. And they were literally like, what's happened? I was like, "Kuh," holstering my gun, my penis gun. And, and I said to them, oh, I just hooked up with so-and-so. And they went, oh, really? What happened? Oh, my God, give us the details. Typical young boy, you do. You go, oh, I'll give you the details. So I said, oh, well, I performed the old, I don't know what the word, I performed the old fingering on the girl. And they went, really, really? I'm like, yeah, but, you know, when you were 17 in front of a whole group of boys, and the older, younger, whatever. And I went, when you go really inside the vagina, all the way inside when you're doing that, and you find the clitoris, and they all went,
oh my God.
They all looked and went, huh? And I went, when you go inside the vagina, and right at the end, that's where the clitoris is. And they went, huh? And I was like, what have I just said?
Oh my god!
Yeah, so, and you just don't know, as guys.
That's the kind of shit you live with forever, I'm afraid. That's the kind of shit you never forget.
Forever. Hey, Grace, listen, that's the end of part one. We've got to pause there because we've got to come back in part two.
Okay, well, part two will be way less X-rated.
Well, listen, it's your fault. You're bringing the smut.
I know. This is literally all I do.
You're bringing this smut.
Modern Mary Whitehouse.
Oh, don't
that. Please, this is not the same.
All right, everybody, we're going to see you in part two. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.